Well, it's a great honor for me to introduce a guest speaker to you today. He is really not a guest. I mean, for some of you, you won't have a clue who this guy is, but for the most, you know Kyle Martin. He is a longtime member of Dallas Bible Church and is the founder and director of a ministry called Time to Revive, which is literally impacting the lives of thousands of people all across this country and now the world. And so we are thrilled to have Kyle here with us this morning. Would you please welcome Kyle Martin as our guest preacher today?
You know, it's good to be here. Brian reminded me, I don't know if you remember, it was last year sometime, I had an opportunity to come in and preach. And I got here during the worship service. So we took a flight in last night instead of this morning. So anyway, really, my wife and I flew in from Florida. I'm just going to tell you a quick picture real quick. You know, people are looking to see God move. That's all it comes down to. People are ready and hungry to see the Spirit of God move. The last 2 days, I was literally interviewing 14 people who are willing to quit their jobs and do this full-time, travel and share the gospel across the United States. Because they want to see God move. We need that today, do we not? I mean, there was a Chick-fil-A manager. She quit her job. A senior management of Apple quit his job. This is the last 2 days. A guy who's owned a lawn care business for over 22 years quit his job. And what I'm beginning to see is that when people see God move, they're ready to do what we call it Time to Revive Break Camp. And my prayer is that this morning, if you don't remember anything else except two words, I'm okay with that. It's break camp. A couple years ago, the Lord started laying a message on my heart for the church. Not just the church in South Carolina or the church in Minnesota or the church in Indiana, but it was the first church that I thought about was Dallas Bible Church. I mean, this is where I've grown up. We've been here for almost 14 years. My wife and I was on staff for a couple years, served as volunteers with the young adults. You name it, I've kind of helped play some kind of fun role in this congregation. And it's really an honor. But as I travel across the United States, I'm still ready to see a move of God in this church. I don't know if you're in agreement. You can say amen. The reality is, even though you love Jesus, even though you've been going here for years, we still, at times, we want to see the Holy Spirit move in ways that we haven't ever seen. That's called revival. Man, I'm telling you, we haven't seen one in our lifetime. Historically, we've never seen one. The early 1900s, the Welsh revival carried over to Azusa Street. And then when you start saying certain things, people say, well, that was charismatic, that wasn't revival. My point is, we haven't had anything sweep our nation ever in our lifetime. And I am a firm, firm believer. The only way it's going to happen is when you break camp. If you would open up your text, and I'm going to ask and challenge you to really dig into the Word today. To me, I want you to use that as your filter. I want you to go to Joshua 1. We're going to use the Old Testament today because to me, what's happening is that Dallas Bible Church, and I really believe this through Pastor Aaron, through Pastor Brian, through the elders, I really believe that we are going to begin to see something shift in Dallas and Fort Worth over the next year. I really believe that with all my heart. The challenge is not just to believe it, but it's actually to walk it out. Man, you guys can sit here all you want and say amen and hoot and holler and sing along with David, but the reality is unless it changes your life out there, it really doesn't matter. I was meeting with a group of pastors from Venice, Florida. Anybody ever been to Venice, Florida? That's where I was at yesterday morning. We were expecting 4 pastors to show up. 17 came. So we walked in and we did the Florida thing we basically spent a lot of time there this year. I pull up in a truck, we sit on the tailgate, and these guys just keep coming. Episcopalians started coming. Methodists started coming. Black and white started coming. So we went into this room, and we're having this discussion about whether or not should we get out and share the gospel. That's the discussion. You laugh, but we're going out after the streets, in the streets this afternoon, and you're still playing the same game. Should I go out and do this or not? You see, until we are willing to break camp, nothing changes. Nothing. And so there's this pastor sitting there in this group, and it was a joy to have my wife there with me because she gets to see how sometimes people treat you when you say we need to go share the gospel when people don't like it. Just made me feel good that my wife was there. And we didn't have our kids. That didn't make me feel good, but it was refreshing. I'm just kidding. You're right here, buddy. And there's this pastor. He's sitting in the back row, and he says before he leaves, he said, "I don't know what we're discussing here. Why don't we just," I'm quoting, "just get off our butts and go do this?" You know, you can hashtag that one. Just get off your butts. That's the only way. Maybe we should rename this. It's the only way revival's going to happen. You know that, right? It's not going to happen just inside these buildings. It's not. But for decades, that's what we've been hoping. And in Joshua 1, if you open up your text, if you're already there, you're like, "I've been there a long time." In Joshua 1, it just says, after the death, in verse 1, it says, "After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, who had served Moses, and Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I'm giving the Israelites." You know what's so fun about this text? Do you know how many years the Israelites were waiting to cross the land? How many? That's a long time to be waiting for a move of God. 40 years, and finally they get to hear, "Oh, we get to cross the land." You know the craziest thing is, do you know why they didn't get across the land earlier? Disobedience. One man's bonehead move, and they didn't get in. That's what happened, folks. Everybody had to suffer, but now he's releasing them saying, "Guess what? Get ready." Like, this is what they've been waiting for. Folks, if you want to see a move of God, it's like, okay, God, when is this going to happen, and how? So in Joshua 1, it just continues, and he says, now watch this. "Don't worry," he says in verse 3, "I've given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses." In other words, I've got it all taken care of. Everywhere you step, Psalm 91 says, "By the way, I got your back. When you step, you won't fall." Everywhere you go, I got it. And the scripture says, in case you want to know, it says, "Your territory will be from the wilderness in Lebanon to the great Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites and west of the Mediterranean. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I'll be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or forsake you." In other words, here we go. Something is about to shift with the Israelites. And then three times, you guys know this, you probably have it on a bumper sticker. I actually have it in my garage on a yard sign. Somebody made these for Highland Park people. I don't live in Highland Park, so I don't know how I got it. But it says, "Be strong and courageous." Three times in Joshua 1, God tells Joshua, "By the way, be strong and courageous." Why? Because the context is they're going to do something they've never done before in their life. You can't do this on your own. If we want to see Dallas Bible Church, this is the context that we're in. If we want to see us enter into a new place with the Lord, you need to have and depend upon Him. You can't manufacture this. That's why campaigns and all of these things, they drive me nuts when they're like, "Yep, revival is coming, and here it is." We don't have a marquee, or we'd probably put it out there. But the reality is, though, if we did, would you believe that God could do it? And that's the context that we're getting at with the Israelites. Three times he says, "Hey, by the way, get ready, be strong and courageous." Now watch this. And in verse 10, it says, I'm in Joshua 1, verse 10. Joshua commanded the officers of the people. The leadership believed so much that they then told the people, "Guys, here we go. Go throughout the camp and tell the people, get provisions ready for yourselves. For within 3 days, you'll be crossing the Jordan to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you to inherit." In 3 days, you're going to enter into a whole new place you've never gone before. Man, wouldn't that be awesome? If all of a sudden we said, "Hey, by the way, in 1 year, you're going to see something you've never seen before, so you might as well get ready." My question is what would you have to change in order to get to that point? Some of you might not have to change anything. You know, there's a lady in Asheville, North Carolina. She is so ready for the return of Christ, literally. I walked into her house. I'm praying with this 90-year-old lady. And in the back, I say, what's that room back there? And she has the table set, all of the silverware, the cups, nice fine linen, everything. And I go, are you having a dinner? She says, I'm just getting ready for the return of Christ. Now, some of you can think, well, that lady's weird. Or you could actually begin to think, what if I lived in the spirit of expectation that he could come back anytime? I actually believe it would change everything about our perspective. You wake up in the morning, Christ could come back today. How am I going to live and function? That would change. It would be a game changer, wouldn't it? I'm kind of used to hanging out with congregations that talk. Rich, help me out here a little bit. It would be a game changer. You almost got charismatic on me. That was good. Okay, so here's the deal. Joshua 1, this is your backdrop of your message. He is saying, by the way, Moses is done. Joshua, it's the new era. And I want you to go tell everybody in the camp, here we go. Like if you knew in 1 year God was going to shift the atmosphere of Dallas-Fort Worth, what would you do to change? Joshua 3, he begins to tell you what it looks like. If you would, turn the text to the right, Joshua 3, verse 1. It's kind of a fun because in between Joshua 1 and 3 is the spies and Rahab. And so they actually go out and they test it all out. They see it. And now in verse 1 of Joshua 3, it says, Joshua started early the next morning. You know what I love about this? Is that he's a leader who's all in. It's not like, hey, guess what? Maybe later on this afternoon. No, it's the next day. Let's go. Let's do this. I've heard from the Lord. Now let's do this. You know, I can't tell you how many, I'll leave out denominations, how many denominations across the U.S. and leaders that I meet. And I think what happens sometimes, and this happened even yesterday with some pastors, I think we process so much what we hear from him that we've actually processed out God. Did I really hear from you? And then you seek counsel, which is wise. And then you go seek more counsel, which is wise. But at some point, you just have to do it. And we use these things as, well, it's not clear. Or do you know what that's going to cost me? Do you know what that could? And we fill in all of the excuses, do we not? Folks, if you want to get ready for the return of Christ, you have to chuck out the excuses. And he says, I'm standing. He started early the next morning, and he left Acacia Grove with all of the Israelites. They went as far as the Jordan, and they stayed there before crossing. And after 3 days, the officers, they went through the camp, and they commanded the people. So they come to the river. They set up camp. I don't know what their tents look like, but they set up shop for 3 days at the river, getting ready to cross. And now the officers are going throughout the camp and they're telling people, they're commanding the people. I'm in verse 3. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God carried by the Levitical priest, you must break camp and follow it. See, what happens is that when you hear the Holy Spirit, or maybe when you sense God moving, Scripture says, follow the presence of God. In other words, don't just sit here, break camp. The challenge is though, what are we sitting at the Jordan in our tents? What do we need to break camp from? Look, I could categorize a lot of churches. I meet with a lot of churches in Dallas and Fort Worth. And I think we all have our own areas of things that we have to break camp from. Anybody want to say one that they need to break from? Religion. Yep, way to go for the home run one. What? Complacency. You got to break camp from just being boring. What else you need to break camp from? Programs. Whew. You said it like, You want to know what's crazy? As I meet with churches and say, hey, what would it look like if all of the churches gathered together to go share the gospel and make disciples? I will get, do you know how many programs that we have? I had one church in Indiana. They said, okay, you can host for a whole week, okay, you can host here, but we got to give up 18 programs in order to do this. And they did it. If you knew there was a chance to enter in the promised land, to experience something new, would you break camp? That's the challenge for the church today. And what's really interesting is after we've gone throughout the United States, after Indiana exploded, we've really been invited all over the United States and the world. Just a couple days ago, I was talking to a pastor of the largest church in a close country. They have over 500 church plants. And they're asking us to come in and equip all of those churches to reach X amount of million people. See, what happens is that when you are willing to break camp, I'm telling you, it'll explode. We've been invited to go into London. I got a really fun invite. I got invited to Kauai, Hawaii. It's actually legit now, okay? They've been praying for about 7-8 months, and there's a group of pastors that have been meeting there. Sweet, sweet man of God. And I'm just telling you guys, what happens is that as it begins to explode, you have to say, okay, God, what is it that you want me to focus on? And so for us, there was a church, Watermark, some of their pastors came to us and actually said, you know, we know that you're traveling throughout the United States. Could you come and talk to us? This is some of their outreach guys. And just tell us, what are you doing? That was it. That was the context of the conversation. Then we had some pastors from the Upper Room, pastors from Dallas Bible and White Rock Fellowship. A group of pastors came together and we just said, hey, what would it look like if we started pursuing and breaking camp in Dallas to go reach the lost here in Dallas-Fort Worth? Like, what would it look like? And so after praying, we felt like the Lord was just leading us to 50 days. Well, 50 days, in case you need to know, is a long haul. Every morning, afternoon, and night, reaching the lost and making disciples. And so over the course of the time, last January, this year, I was getting ready to go to Sarasota, Florida. And I had to test this myself. Was I willing to break camp? And I'm getting ready to go there. 2 weeks turned into 4 weeks. And as I did, a pastor from Gateway, Gateway Church is the largest church here in Dallas. They have 36,000 people. They have 700 full-time staff. Okay? Their executive director, Tom Lane, called me. He said, hey, before you go to Florida, I want you to pray about something. I want you to pray about whether or not you move these 50 days to 2017. If you move them to 2017, Gateway will then actively pray about how they could actually get involved with praying and sharing and reaching the lost along with the other churches in Dallas-Fort Worth. And so I prayed and I sought counsel and I realized that this was God. And so what we began to prepare for, and this is what we've been doing in Dallas for the last couple weeks, and guess what, we're going to be doing it all year, is we're going to start asking churches to break camp. We're going to start asking Dallas Bible Church, which they're saying yes, but we're asking White Rock Fellowship. We're talking to Potter's House. I've been talking to Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. You kind of name it, we've been talking. We've been talking to Global Harvest Church. It's an all-Korean church. There's 180 churches, Korean churches, in Dallas-Fort Worth. 6 of them speak English. One of those churches says, we're going to break camp. Right now, I'm going to paint a picture of reality. There's 4,200 congregations in Dallas-Fort Worth. That's exhausting. Do you know how many that we've talked to? This doesn't mean that they said no because we're not going to listen. It just means they probably don't even know yet. But right now, we have 9 churches that are breaking camp. And I'm telling you, God is doing something special. The challenge is this. When you see the presence of God and you know that there could be a chance that God's in this, would you break camp? So I have 4 kids. I'm really simple. Can you just say break camp out loud? Remember, I want you to remember 2 words, so we might as well practice what they are. What are they? Break camp. That's it. All I'm asking is right now, when you see God moving, you have to say, is this of God? Henry Blackaby says, when you see God moving, you go. Just what if all of these prayers, all of these words of encouragement, even some of these prophetic words that have been happening for decades in Dallas and across the world, just what if this is the year that we start experiencing a true move of God in this community? It's going to take all of us breaking camp. And I'm just going to tell you, it says this, watch what it says up here on the verse. It says, when you break camp, this is kind of fun. Keep a distance, though. About 1,000 yards between yourselves and the ark. Why? Because the presence of God is going to be so real that sometimes, it says, you can see the way for you haven't traveled this way before. Folks, this is all going to be new to all of us. When I go into a city, okay, typically we'll pour into one community, Sarasota County. Typically, we'll pour into Manatee County or maybe even out Venice community. Whatever it is, it's one community. What we're praying for right now is 10 communities in Dallas-Fort Worth, all at one time for 50 days. Do you have that map by chance, Evelyn? So what we've done is this. City of Dallas is actually not broken up that well. They're broken up by seven because of the police department and government. But outside of Dallas, it's just a bunch of highways. Am I in Allen or am I in Plano? Am I in McKinney or you get the point? Garland and Mesquite, I think they just go together. I get confused. You throw in the mid-cities, Arlington, and then you throw in Mansfield and Grand Prairie. But every one of them has its own identity, right? Richardson, where I live, we are like, who are we? Oh, you're the tech community. Man, whatever, you get my point. So we started breaking up Dallas-Fort Worth because we really believe that the Holy Spirit is starting to lead us to actually go into these communities to break camp. I am going to tell you now, what we're going to see in a year from now, we've never seen, honestly, in our lifetime. That's not me just blowing smoke. There's too much that the Lord is preparing for us to jump in. And you know who's leading the charge? Dallas Bible Church. It's the craziest thing, you guys. What I love is that Hal Habecker has set the tone in an incredible way for us. 20 plus years, but there's a new season. And you have to recognize that's okay. God used Hal to get us to this point, but now he's raised up Pastor Aaron to say, let's go, guys. Let's do this. And because of that, other churches are following. When you can sit around the table with the outreach team of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship and say, guys, what would this look like? When you can talk to the elders of the Potter's House, what would this look like? You name it. When you sit down with the campus pastor of Bent Tree Bible and say, guys, what would this look like? They are ready to see God move. And here's the coolest part. When you break camp, nobody cares what church you come from. They're not going to ask you for your Baptist ID card. They actually don't care if you speak in tongues. They just want to know, are you following the presence of God? And you imagine if the church of Dallas and Fort Worth actually pursued the presence of God together. And so what we've done is we believe that the Lord is just slowly beginning to make this clear. You know, we're slow. In Acts 15, it says, it would seem good to man and the Holy Spirit, which means not all the time are we going to get this right. Amen? But I'm going to be dumb enough and walk by faith that I'm going to go after it. Scripture says we're supposed to be fools for Christ. You know what that means? Break camp. Scripture continues on in Joshua 3. Evelyn, we'll go back to the text if you don't mind. And it says this in verse 5, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves because the Lord will do wonders among you tomorrow. The word consecrate, what does that mean? Somebody help me out. To make holy. So if you're breaking camp, you're getting rid of these things that you've been used to, but now you have to start being set apart. How do you do that? It's really hard to talk to people about Jesus if your whole vessel is filled with sin. It's really hard to hear the Holy Spirit if you're walking in darkness and you're trying to tell him about how he's changed your life. It just doesn't work. So Jesus very clearly says, guys, let's get rid of those things so that you can represent me. When you break camp, you should be free. That's the reality of this. The only way I can share with a new age massage therapist in Tampa, Florida, at a house in a driveway 2 days ago is because I realized, no, I'm not perfect, but I don't have any bondage weighing me down. And because I don't have bondage, yes, this is actually a visual, honestly, I can be set free and I can run hard after anything. I think what happens is that we can't break camp, we can't consecrate ourselves because we're so stuck in our own world. The book of Haggai says, you don't care about the Lord's house because we're busy building our own house. I just want to say, folks, this church, Dallas Bible Church, could truly lead the charge by breaking camp. And the way it happens is that you represent Christ. You're holy. You're set apart. You're consecrating yourselves. Somebody is going to want what you actually have. When's the last time somebody came up to you and said, man, what is so different about you? You know, that's one of my most common prayer requests every week, is that the Christ in me would draw somebody to him. It's because I'm pursuing consecration, I'm pursuing sanctification because of his grace and what he's done in my life. And so here it says, okay, by the way, he says, consecrate yourselves. Then he said to the priests, take the Ark of the Covenant and go on ahead of the people. So they carried the Ark of the Covenant and they went on ahead. Just kind of fun. I'm in verse 7 now. If you guys are like point people, like you like to take notes, I'm in my second point now. Okay? I'm going back to, you know. So point one, break camp. Point two, I'll tell you in a little bit. Okay, so watch this. It says, the Lord spoke to Joshua. He says, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all of Israel. They'll know that I will be with you just as I was with Moses. In other words, he's affirming this leap of faith. He's saying, by the way, there's a new change of hands. I'm with you. Probably good to hear. Verse 8, command the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the edge of the waters, stand in the Jordan. Man, this is a fun one. You know what this means? Once you break camp, okay, you got to get your feet wet. When you break camp, you have to get your feet wet. Don't break camp and just sit at people and stare at people. Say, oh, I'm with you, but then you never jump in. You're not going to experience the move of God. You actually have to experience who he is. Knowledge is a good thing, it says in Scripture. But when you experience him, it says then you'll experience the fullness of God. You know what Dallas does? And I can say this because of 14 years I've been trained in this community academically, is that we bank our relationship on God based on our knowledge. Folks, yes, and get your feet wet. You break camp in order to get your feet wet. If you want to see a move of God, you got to actually get in. I know I've told the story 1,000 times, but it's one of my favorite. I was in Columbia, South Carolina. I'm ready to baptize a sweet little girl. She puts her toes in. It's so cold, she gets right back out. I'm not talking about getting your feet wet and testing it. I'm talking about getting in. The only way Dallas Bible Church leads this charge is not just break camp, but folks, you actually jump in. You're like, well, Kyle, I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, join the club. That's called faith. For you type A people, that's me. For you who love budgets, that's me. This won't work for you. God's going to be bigger than what you can figure out. Doesn't mean that what you think and do is wrong. It just means when he says do it, just do it. Some of you are processing right now something in your life, and honestly, you already know the answer, and I'm just going to tell you, just do it. So, first phrase is what? Break camp. Okay, let's say it. Break camp. Look, if you can just memorize this, your life will forever change, right? Whatever. I'm kidding. Right, Rich? Thank you. Okay, second point is get your feet wet. Go ahead, say it. Get your feet wet. Get your feet wet. So you break camp because you know God's moving. And now it says when you come to the edge of the waters, you stand in the Jordan, not at it, not staring at it, not praying about it. Look, I love prayer. Prayer has changed our ministry. It's flipped our ministry upside down. But at some point, you have to do what you're praying. God, send somebody to bring revival in Dallas. Yep, that would probably be you. That's what we do, though, in America. That's what we do in the church. That's why I believe if the church in Dallas and Fort Worth would truly break camp, I believe, and we start getting in the water, something is going to happen. Well, what is it, Kyle? I don't have a clue. When Abraham was told to go into the land, did he know? No. You see, folks, I think we actually need to start walking by faith. Stop calendaring God out of the picture. Stop scheduling him out of your picture. You follow the presence of God. It might mean singing four other choruses when it's not planned. We'll talk afterwards, David. But what I mean is those are the little things that you have to start being sensitive to and being okay with. Because if you're not okay with an hour and 15 minute service and it has to be then, or what is it? What's the time? About that. You're like, Kyle, you got 10 minutes. But if that bothers you, I'm totally talking to Dallas language here. Break camp doesn't work for you. Because we're so stuck in how church has to be. Folks, I don't buy it anymore. Don't we want to see a move of God? Then it means you have to be uncomfortable. Well, Kyle, don't you know? Yeah, me too. I'm just saying, folks, let's put it really into perspective here. When you start getting uncomfortable, it means he's probably asking you maybe to start giving up some things so he can move in your life. Break camp, and then you just gotta get your feet wet. It's kind of fun. It says as you get your feet wet, it says in verse 9 of Joshua 3. Joshua told the Israelites, I'm still on point 2. Joshua told the Israelites, Come closer, please, and listen to the words of the Lord your God. It's kind of fun. Can you imagine gathering everybody together in Dallas-Fort Worth? Hey, listen up. This is it. We're going to cross the Jordan. Wouldn't that be awesome to hear? Like, hey, by the way, in a year, we're going to see God move in Dallas like we've never seen before. And here's how practical God is to every single one of us. Watch. He says, you will know that the living God is among you, and he'll certainly, and he lists seven people groups, that these people are probably freaking out about. He says, by the way, when you go to the land, I'm going to dispossess the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. All of the enemies that you're afraid of as soon as you cross the Jordan River, I've already gotten taken care of. Well, Kyle, if we hang out with actually the charismatics and go out and share the gospel, what if it gets weird? That'll mess with my theology. Well, Kyle, do you not know about that church over there? And then you know what we do, right? We start figuring out why this won't work. God says, no, by the way, all of your doubts, all of your worries, all of the things that you think won't happen in doubts, I've got it taken care of. It's done. Isn't that awesome? You know what that means? It means he knows you. I'll never forget, I asked the Lord if I wanted to share the story. April 5th, April 6th of 2001, I'm at Taylor University. I owned a coffee shop. I'm washing dishes. As I'm washing dishes, this little girl named Sarah Severance comes from Kansas City, Kansas, or Missouri, who knows which side. And she looks at me and she says one thing, what do you want to do with your life? I had just walked away from the professional sports career, just walked away with working with the athletes. That was my life. I thought I was going to own a team and we were moving forward with it. Like everything was literally lining up. And I walked away from all of it. And I remember saying to this girl in this kitchen, washing dishes at the end of my shift of the coffee shop, I said, I want to train people for Jesus. And I remember thinking, where did that come from? I was a business major, helped implement sports management. Like all of that, I don't know where that came from. So she went and laid down on a couch, a blue couch. And it made me really uncomfortable. She was out cold for 45 minutes. You guys, I grew up in a church of the brethren. They don't just lay down like that. And the next thing you know, a little guy from Alaska named Clint Sullivan, Sully, he comes pounding on the door. The coffee shop's closed. And he says this. He says, hey, just quoting him, the Holy Spirit told me to come and pray for you. So my joke was, well, take a number. So I'm sitting down. Two people are out cold praying, and I don't know what they're praying. I don't know why they're praying. All I said is I want to train people for Jesus, and now it's getting weird. So she comes to, she opens up her backpack, And then she says this. She pulls out a bottle of olive oil and she says, "The Lord told me to go to the grocery store and buy olive oil because I was supposed to anoint somebody today." And I did the classic, you know, not me. Why? Because sometimes when you take these leap of faith, you don't want to be put in a situation that's really uncomfortable. But folks, that's when God says, "I want to speak to you because it's not about you, it's about me." And so here's what she says. Sarah goes, "Well, when you're ready, come on upstairs." I go, "Ready for what?" She says, "You'll know." So I'm like, "Well, God, I don't have a clue what this means." Some of you are at this point. You broke in camp. Now you're ready to get your feet wet. But you can't logically figure this out. It's okay. So I go upstairs, and for 2 hours, I heard the voice of the Lord audibly. It was my Damascus Road experience. It changed my life. Radically changed me to who I am, to now I know my calling. Yeah, some of you might not have a Damascus Road experience. It's okay, but this is how God spoke to me. God speaks to us in different ways. This was how he spoke to me. And from that moment on, in that night, in that encounter, I knew God had my back. Why? Because one of my biggest fears was my wife, who is Laura, who's my girlfriend at the time. I was freaking out that if I told her I heard from God, that she was going to mock me and make fun of me. Because you see, when you walk by faith, what if they think you're weird? What if it doesn't make sense, God? And as I'm actually hearing from the Lord, I heard the Lord say, "You can fight this all you want. I don't even care. I heard it." He said, "Don't worry about Laura. She has the gift of faith." You see, God knows all of the things, the nooks and crannies in your life that you're worried about. He says, "I got it." You got to give them to him so that he can take it. And so don't worry. She has the gift of faith. Man, I have my best friend walking this with me. And he told me ahead of time, it's done. You see, when you cross over into the Jordan, some of you are nervous because in a year, you know what we're asking for 50 days? We're asking you to take off a morning and go share the gospel from your work. Maybe in an afternoon, we're actually asking you to go and share the gospel in part of this community. Maybe you're sensing, I got to take a week off. I'm just going to tell you what's going to happen in Dallas-Fort Worth. It'll have never happened in the United States. 50 days, 10 regions, hundreds of churches, I believe, are going to break camp. They're going to get rid of their programs and say, you know what? They're not a bad thing, but we want more. Who doesn't want more for this church? 6 of us will be joining the team. We got your back. Don't worry. I just want you to do this, okay? And if you don't hear anything, it doesn't make you more mature or less mature. But I'd actually just for love for you to bow your head, if you could. Just bow your head if you would. I just want you to very simply remember this. I'm going to coach you through something. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, okay? The role of the Holy Spirit is to guide us. He's going to direct us. He's going to comfort us. He's going to help us. I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit if you're comfortable with it. If you're not, don't worry about it. It's fine. Nobody's judging anything on levels here. But I do know that the Holy Spirit speaks, and he does want to, but you have to decide that. Just say, "Holy Spirit, is there," you don't have to say this out loud, just say, "Holy Spirit, is there anything getting in the way of me believing that you could work in this city?" Ask. Just with your heads bowed, I want to encourage you. It says, the scripture says, once he listed these things, he says, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth goes ahead of you into the Jordan. He is going to go ahead of these doubts and these reasons and these things that are getting in the way. And I actually want you to confess this to him and say, "Father, forgive me for not believing whatever this is." See, what happens is your head's bowed. A lot of us just have things that just get in the way. And it's not that we're intentionally doing it. We just don't know sometimes they've gotten in the way. We don't know that sometimes we've let them build up equal to Scripture. Sometimes we're just letting these things get in the way. And he says, no, I have it taken care of. And so, Father, I just commit these things that people are hearing. Some aren't hearing. That's okay. But, Father, for those that are hearing something, I pray, God, that you would just start removing those things in their life so that they can fully get their feet wet. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue on with Joshua 3 and just kind of move on with our points here. It's kind of fun. It says this in verse 12. Now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man for each tribe. When the feet of the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, come to rest in the Jordan's waters, its waters will be cut off. The water flowing downstream will stand up in a mass. Here's what's so fun about this. He says, pick 12 guys. Why? Because after they cross, they're going to celebrate. So in the middle of their doubting, in the middle of all of these things, he says, by the way, we're going to celebrate because it's coming. I'm asking the Lord, and I would covet your prayers, that the Lord would raise up 265 churches in Dallas-Fort Worth. I'm already asking the Lord for 265. So if you would just somewhere write this down in your notes, if you would, please. Because guess who needs to lead the charge in prayer? That would be our congregation. If we have 9 right now, wouldn't it be cool if whenever Dallas Bible decides to communicate it, you guys could hear little updates about, hey, we're up to 10. Hey, we're up to 12. We're up to 16. Wouldn't it be cool that in 1 year we found our 12? Wouldn't that be awesome? Because we believe that God wants to do something special. Can you throw up that map, Evelyn, really quick again? So you're telling me 4,200 churches in Dallas-Fort Worth, we're asking for 265. Do you believe that 265 churches could say we're going to break camp? Wouldn't that be awesome? Does anybody else get giddy? That's a weird word, I know, but I mean, there's 10 regions. I believe God's going to want to celebrate. And we're already telling people ahead of time, let's get ready. It's called Revive Texas. April 16th through June 4th. It's next Easter. All the way through June 4th. 50 days straight of the churches coming together, breaking their programs, breaking their stuff, and saying, God, what would it look like if we all did this together? I actually believe we're going to see more than 265. But he only said choose 12 at the time. If you watch and go back to the scriptures, if you don't mind, this is your third and final point. It says, when the people broke camp and crossed the Jordan River, the priests carried the Ark of the Covenant ahead of the people. Now, the Jordan overflows its banks throughout the harvest season. But as soon as the priests carrying the ark reached the Jordan, their feet touched the water at its edge, and the water flowing downstream stood still, rising up in a mass that extended as far as Adam, a city next to Zarethan. The water flowing downstream into the Sea of Arabah, the Dead Sea, was completely cut off, and the people crossed opposite Jericho. The priests carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant stood firmly on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all of Israel crossed on dry ground until the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan. 2 million people had to cross the Jordan River. They say, based on these towns, maybe it could be up to 18 miles wide. The water stopped. That's a lot of people to cross the river. I believe your third point is that when you break camp and get your feet wet, miraculous breakthroughs coming. When you break camp and you actually, by faith, get your feet wet and say, God, I want to experience the fullness of you, I actually believe you're going to experience a miraculous breakthrough. But you have to start getting to that point of believing. I'm going to ask the gentleman if you guys could. You guys have the maps. Do you guys mind starting to pass those out? And then can you throw that back up on the screen? David, can I have your team come on up if you don't mind? Got a lot of moving parts here. I've been praying through this. This morning I went and made photocopies at our office. 350. I have no idea how many people are here. Everybody's going to get one of these right here. And what I want our church to do is start pressing in for praying for a breakthrough. And everybody's going to actually get one of these copies. I want you to put it on your fridge. If Dallas Bible Church is leading the charge, we would be in the little red section. Storehouse Church in Dallas, they're jumping in. White Rock Fellowship, they're jumping in. I mean, you guys, there's just these churches that are just starting to begin to jump in. We've met with literally dozens and dozens of churches. I met with the Dallas Baptist Association, their executive director. He oversees 400 Baptist churches. People are intrigued about what God's doing. The question and the challenge is, and you guys, if you don't mind doing some instrumental, that'd be great, is that are we willing to break camp, get our feet wet, and actually believe God wants to do something in this community? Wouldn't that be fun if God used us in a different way? In a way maybe that we haven't ever experienced before. And so what I'd like to do as these guys play, I'd like us to get into groups. This might make you really uncomfortable. We're almost done. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray that God would begin to do this in Dallas-Fort Worth. Revive Texas is happening for 50 days, April 16th through June 4th. A whole year we're getting prepped. Guess what? This coming Friday, if you have any desire, we're going to be at Pilgrim Rest Missionary Baptist Church. That doesn't fit into your mold probably. Pilgrim Rest Missionary Baptist, once a month, we're going to start equipping the church, the churches that are jumping in, getting involved. Once a month, we're going to actually start doing equipping, and then this Saturday at 8 o'clock at Pilgrim Rest Missionary Baptist, guess what we're going to do? We're going to go out and share the gospel because we believe that we need to start doing this with the White Rock Fellowships. We need to start doing this with the Storehouse Churches. We need to do this with the Global Harvest Korean Churches. Once a month, we're going to start getting ready to break camp so that maybe we would see a move of God. So if you could, and then I'll have Pastor Aaron come on up when you sense the timing is right. Can you guys just get in groups of four or five? If you don't like to pray, just find somebody that does. And would you just begin to pray, here it is, that people would start breaking camp. Just that they would start breaking camp all over Dallas-Fort Worth, starting with me. Okay, let's pray. Thank you.
we walk upon the waters. Wherever you would call me, and take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Me walk upon the waters. Wherever you would call me, take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith would be made stronger, the presence of my Savior.
Would you guys please bow with me, as you already are? Heavenly Father, we do love you and we praise you. And God, we look forward to, Lord, we are looking forward to a year from now, God, when the church in Dallas will really come together. And Father, we're not going to be flying the flag of the name of our own church or for the glory of a pastor or a leader or a charismatic person who may be out there, God. We're going to be coming together as brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus Christ for the glory of your Son. And so, Father, I ask that your Spirit would go before us and that you would pave the way for success, that your Spirit would be already just paving the way for divine appointments, that those who are far from you would be drawn near by the beauty of your grace. Lord, I pray right now that you would be preparing the laborers, Lord Jesus, that your church would wake up, Father, that we would be burdened by a desire to see you praised and lifted up more than a desire for our own comfort or safety or the things that we know and can predict, God, that you would set us free from those desires and that you would truly move. Father, we recognize that this is going to require a move of God. This is not anything that we can do in our own strength. And so I pray for 265 churches to be able to step out and to be able to break free and to break out, God, and to be able to say nothing else but coming together for the glory of your name is what makes sense. And so, Father, I pray for 265. But I also pray that it wouldn't start a year from now, that it would start today, and that it would move forward into our homes and into our workplaces and into our friendships and into our families. God, that we would desire to see you praised, and Lord, that we would stop at nothing to that end, God. And we recognize that this requires you to move. So, Father, you're invited in this place. We are grateful for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that we don't do this alone. Lord, we long to see you lifted up. It's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. Amen and amen. Church, before you guys take off, I wanted to say thank you to Kyle. Can you guys just help me thank Kyle for coming this morning? Do want to let everybody know, we have been talking about this. If you've been around for a little while, Revive Texas is coming next Easter 2017. We're excited to be able to do this. We have committed as a church. I've signed everybody up for this, so I hope you guys are okay with that. We don't have a big enough location here to be able to host a main central gathering every day for 50 days. We're expecting thousands of people to be a part of this. We are going to be doing this in 10 different locations all around the Metroplex at the same time every day. We have committed to being a Monday lunchtime location once a week for those 50 days. We are going to host lunch here at this church body where everybody's going to come and they're going to gather. We're going to share lunch together. We're going to share stories of what God was doing that morning, and then we're going to send people back out. That's going to require laborers in the church body to come and be a part of this, to serve, to clean, to serve food. We're going to need a ton of food also. again, this is something we're trusting God to do. 265 churches. This is going to take a lot of people coming together and laying down their pride and just saying, Jesus, this is all about you. And so I'm asking that you would pray with me that the universal church, not just the name of Dallas Bible Church, but the universal church would be increased as a result of this move of God. This is a thing I had to deal with very specifically, where I felt like in my own prayer time, God said, Aaron, if your name is never lifted up, if people don't come to Dallas Bible Church as a result of this thing, are you okay with that? If I just add to every other church in the city of Dallas and my name is glorified everywhere, are you okay with that? And I had to wrestle with that and be like, you know what? I really am. I really am. It's all about him. So I'm looking forward to this and just ask that you would pray with me. Love you guys. You can go pick up your kids, and we will see you guys next week. Thanks.